This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
You know, lots of you have sent in questions to me and asking me about various things concerning the Bible and Bible prophecy and that type of thing. And I want you to know that I do the very best that I can to try to answer your questions. But just due to the sheer number of questions that I'm getting right now, especially in light of the fact that I'm in the process of writing two books and recording two podcasts, and I do have a life, I do have a family, that type of thing, it's getting difficult for me at times. So I only ask that you be patient, that if for some reason I don't get to your question, it's not because I'm trying to ignore you by any stretch of the imagination, because I do want you to send in your questions. And I'm going to try to incorporate your questions into podcasts as opposed to just trying to write each person that writes me. So if you would just continue to be faithful to this podcast, perhaps your question will be answered. If not, I will do my best to get to it. But please don't think I'm slighting you or ignoring you in any way. It's just that I've got so much on my plate, I simply don't have the time to respond to every single question that people send. So that's a word about questions. Secondly, right now, because we are in such a weird moment, a strange moment in history, that once again, out of the woodwork, if you will, or from under the floorboards of life, come all these people who are wanting to predict the rapture and predict the timing of the tribulation. With the peace deal between Israel and the United Arab Emirates, there have been a huge number of people that have come on board and who are now saying, well, this has to be the peace deal that the Bible talks about that's going to begin the tribulation period. I do not believe that it is. And because if it were the peace deal, then Israel would be rebuilding their temple and the Antichrist would be revealed, and we would have been raptured, and there would be peace in the Middle East, which there's not peace in the Middle East right now. This is just a peace deal between these two nations. It just covers some basic agreements between them, but this is not the fulfillment of Daniel 9:27, okay? So do not listen to people who are baiting you, but could this be? It's not. Second thing is that because of just everything that's going on, people are always looking for hidden cryptograms from God that prove that you are currently either about to experience the rapture or about to enter the tribulation period. And there's a new one going around that is calculated. I can't even keep up with the math. I mean, it's just so much math. It's like you have to be Albert Einstein meets the Apostle Paul to be able to figure this stuff out. But people think they figured out through all this math and multiplication and feast and days and all this stuff that the rapture is likely to happen this fall. My friend, there is not a shred of biblical evidence that tells us the rapture is going to happen this fall. Not a shred. Now, listen to me. There are emerging signs and have been for years. There are biblical signs that we see in Revelation that are currently in their embryonic form, currently in their developmental form, but none of those tell us the timing of the rapture. There is nothing in our life, in history, in the news, in Bible prophecy that tells us the time of the rapture. It could come at any time. It could come today, could come this fall, could come next year, could come in 10 years. We don't know when it's going to come. And anyone who tells you that the rapture is likely to occur at such and such a time, you know that this person does not understand how to interpret the Bible, that they have fallen for some stupid math tricks and numbers that can be forced to mean different things. So I urge you not to listen to people who try to use this numerical interpretive method, this numerical hermeneutic, to try to predict the coming of the Lord. We do not predict the coming of the Lord. It is imminent, and it could come anytime. So those are a couple of things by way of introduction. Also, if this podcast is ministering to you, please share it, because there's a lot of cool things that are going on with this podcast, and God is really expanding the ministry of it, and that's a good thing, okay? But it also means I have to put more work into it, and because I want to make it more and more excellent for you. And so if you'd like to support this podcast ministry, then simply go to jeffkinley.com and click on the Donate tab. It's really simple from there. And if you want to have a physical check mailed, there's also a physical address there. My ministry, Main Thing Ministries, is a 501c3 nonprofit, and your gift when you give is tax deductible. So, but more than that is just the support that that God uses it to help out this ministry. And so thank you so much for those of you who are supporting it. I want you to know that your gift is not lost on me. I really appreciate every single person and every single dollar. Okay. Now I realize that I talk about the rapture here, and I've talked about it before. I've given you 10 reasons before on why the rapture is a pre-tribulational rapture. I've got 13 reasons here, and there's some overlap there, but here's the deal. Some people miss podcasts and they miss episodes. And so I want to periodically, I'm not trying to repeat things, but every now and then, and I've got 274, I think this is 274 podcasts, and rarely do I ever repeat the same exact topic. So I want you to know that I'm trying to keep this thing fresh for you all the time. But occasionally I just feel like there's a need to remind the body of Christ of some very basic principles. And this is one of them. So that's why I'm doing this 13 reasons here. So let me jump into it with number 8 here. And we've gone through 7 already. So this is number 8, is that why should we believe in a pre-trib rapture? Because the scripture exhorts us to be comforted by the rapture, that this should be a comfort to us. If you're going through the tribulation, there is no comfort. There's no comfort in knowing that you're going to suffer through the imposition of the mark of the beast, the persecution of believers across the world, beheaded because they will not take the mark of the beast, and the judgments that God is going to release on the earth. There's no comfort in that. And that's why another reason why the post-trib view doesn't make any sense, believing that we're going to be raptured just like at the same time as the second coming, or like immediately before the second coming. No, 1 Thess 4:18, after Paul has given us the chronology of the rapture, he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. And then in the very next chapter, when he's talking about the tribulation period, he says in verse 9, again, he says, God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation or deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 verses later, he says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. I can't encourage you. I can't build you up if you're going through the tribulation by saying that you're going to be raptured. But there's no comfort there. Comfort in knowing that I'm going to suffer God's wrath, there's no comfort. So it just doesn't make any sense. That's why the rapture has to be prior to the wrath of God. With that, number 9 is that the restrainer must be removed. I know I mentioned this earlier in one of the points here, but it's so pertinent to understanding how God's timetable works in the pre-trib rapture, because 2 Thess 2, verses 3 through 8, tell us about the revelation of the Antichrist. And then in verse 6, he says, and you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he, the Antichrist, may be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will also do so until he is taken out of the way. And I take that restrainer to be the Holy Spirit's ministry in the church, that when the church's presence leaves the world, so will the salt and the light and the influence of the Holy Spirit in the world. And that can only happen if there's a pre-trib rapture, because the Antichrist is going to be revealed. So if you have the Antichrist being revealed, then the church is not here. So if you know who the Antichrist is, you're in the tribulation. Simple as that. He says he will not be revealed until the restrainer is taken out of the way. And so, I don't know how much clearer you can get than that. Now, you can do some gymnastics around the text and try to, you know, come up with another meaning or try to say, well, God's wrath doesn't begin to the middle of the tribulation. But clearly with Revelation chapter 6, God's wrath begins. And with the Antichrist coming on the scene as the peace, is the peace master of the earth. Okay, that's number 9. Number 10, again, this post-trib rapture thing doesn't make sense. The rapture and the second coming are two distinct events. And I've done podcasts on the differences between the rapture and the second coming before. But clearly in Scripture, when you look at the texts that describe the rapture, that describe the second coming of Christ, the rapture, Jesus Christ comes for us. We are taken, we are snatched away, harpazo, rapture. But in the second coming, it says in Revelation 19 that he comes with us. He comes with us. We are with him. We're not with him in the rapture. We're with him in the second coming. Christ takes us to heaven. John 14, verses 1 through 3. I will take you to my Father's house. That's what that's all about. And then Revelation 19, what we see is when Christ comes back on his white horse, he says, and the armies which are in heaven clothed in fine linen, that's the church, white and clean, are following him on white horses. That's us and the holy angels. And so, two distinct events. The rapture is all about rescuing the church. The second coming is all about wrath upon unbelievers. Now, we're with Christ at the second coming, but we're taken out of the trial, the testing is going to come upon the whole world, which is what Revelation 3:10 says. But when we come back, it's wrath. It's a wrath time. When Christ comes for us in the rapture, he's in the air. It's all it says. He's in the air, in the clouds. But at the second coming, he's on the earth. He touches down on the earth. Zechariah 14. When we are raptured, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning of verse 51, it says we are translated, or we are changed, we are transformed. We get new glorified bodies. But at the second coming, there's no mention of any change going on. We're already changed. We're already clothed in fine white linen, as it were. And so this whole idea, you know, with the rapture is that we go to heaven. The second coming, we come from heaven. So we've been in heaven, apparently, all this time, right? So we're not going to just like be snatched up to heaven and be changed and then go to all the bride of Christ goes to the judgment seat of Christ, and we all get our rewards, and we celebrate all this stuff. And then, and a millisecond later, we come back down. The chronology doesn't fit, my friend. Number 11, the pre-trib rapture harmonizes with a literal hermeneutic versus a symbolic hermeneutic. In other words, when you approach the Bible literally, meaning that you take it in its original context, you take it in its historical, grammatical, contextual, cultural, linguistic context, you will arrive at the pre-trib rapture. If you take Revelation to be a symbolic book, a book of metaphors, you're going to come up with a million different kinds of interpretations for the book of Revelation. Because a symbol, there's no way to authoritatively say what a particular symbol might mean if you think that the whole book of Revelation is symbolic. And then, even those who take it as symbolic still believe Jesus Christ is going to come back literally. So how did you come to that conclusion? Why all of a sudden is his return literal when nothing else in the book is? But when you just take the Bible at its plain literal sense, because God's not hiding things in numbers, okay? He's not hiding this encrypted code in the Bible. I mean, God never said that the only people who can really understand prophecy is some guy with a white erase board and a YouTube account. That's not how we do prophecy. We don't get some obscure quote unquote prophet coming out of the woodwork that no other godly man or scholar or Bible teacher or prophecy expert has ever seen before, but this guy has it. That's a satanic ruse. It's a demonic deception, as sincere as this person might be. And so, but when you take the Bible literally, then you can come to the conclusion where you would say things like, we can't know the day, because the Bible says literally we don't know the day. We don't know the exact hour of his second coming. We don't know the exact hour of his rapture, of his return. And so that's why we have to be faithful to a literal hermeneutic. Okay? Very, very important. Another thing that people say about the rapture is that it's just simply a doctrine of escapism. I've already blown away in previous podcasts and also my book, Wake the Bride, this whole ridiculous notion that the rapture somehow was invented in the 1700s with John Darby or with C.I. Scofield or some other, you know, original dispensational author back a few hundred years ago, and it's just kind of a Johnny-come-lately doctrine. I blow that away, trace it all the way back to the Church Fathers, trace it all the way back to the New Testament, because that's really our only authority, is the Bible. But one of the accusations made against the rapture is that it's just simply a doctrine of escapism. And in other words, you Christians don't want to suffer. You're just weak, mamby-pamby, snowflake American Christians. You don't want to suffer, so you invent this rapture to get yourself out of suffering. Well, if there were no Bible verses to back us up, I would probably agree with that. Because Jesus does say in John 15, verses 18 through 25, he says that he says in chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you're going to have tribulation. Didn't say the tribulation, but tribulation generally speaking. And in John 15, he says, don't be surprised the world hates you. And I would tell you that right now. Do not be surprised if the world hates you. The world is going to hate us more and more and more. Christians, and I'm talking about real Christians here, not the people who play the church game or just try to be nice to the world. The world is going to hate you. They took the most loving, most biblical, most accurate, most well-balanced human being that ever lived, the God-man Jesus Christ, and they butchered him and nailed him to a cross and killed him. You really think you're going to do better than Jesus? So, my friend, do not be surprised the world hates you, but the world is the one that hates you, not God. And because God doesn't hate you, he's going to deliver you. And that's why the verses I've read over and over again, 1 Thess 1, 9 and 10, is that God delivers us from the wrath to come. And 1 Thess 5, 9 is that we are not destined for wrath, but obtaining salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we saying here? It's not a doctrine of escapism. I mean, if that's true, then just say, okay, Noah, you're an escapist. But guess what? He lived. Okay, Lot, you're an escapist, a literal escapist. You left Sodom and Gomorrah before God nuked them until they glowed. Yeah, okay, doctrine of escapism. That's what you want to call the rapture? Sure, because the groom does snatch the bride away. So if you want to call it that, that's fine, but just know it's in the Bible when you call it that. Here's number 13. Number 13 is the glaring absence of the church, the bride of Christ, in the book of Revelation. You would think Revelation is the last book of the Bible, my friend. God describes in great detail what's going to happen to the world and to people and to the Jews and to those who will become Christians during that time. You would think that God would have given us some kind of clues as to how to go through this. Some kind of comfort. Here's what you do when they start chopping your head off. No, he gives instructions to the Jews in Matthew 24, 25. There's nothing to the church. Not a thing. The word church is mentioned 20 times in the book of Revelation. In chapters 1 through 3, it's mentioned 19 times. He's speaking to the churches, the seven churches. In chapter 22, way after the tribulation, it's mentioned one time. Do you know how many times the word church is mentioned in chapters 16 through 18, the very chapters that cover the tribulation period and the wrath of God being unleashed on planet Earth? Zero. Not a single time. Instead, Revelation 4, we're pictured as being up in heaven. So those are 13 reasons why I believe in the preacher of rapture, and there are more. But my friend, I want you to know this is not some Johnny-come-lately thing. This is something that's been in black and white in our Bibles for 2,000 years, and we can bank on it. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we do know it's going to happen, and we believe it's going to happen before the tribulation, before the Antichrist is revealed. I hope that's an encouragement to you on this great, blessed hope, the Bible calls it, the rapture of the church. Hey, give us a shout out on social media, and also support this ministry if you can. JeffKinley.com, and click that donate tab. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to JeffKinley.com.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's E-D-I-F-I.app.